CliffCentral.com.
All right. We have got some very, very cool stuff coming up for you in the next little bit. I'm extremely excited about this. We're going to be talking to Jesse Clegg, but also Nicholas Petrica, who's from Walk the Moon. You know the band Walk the Moon? Shut up and dance with me. You know those guys? Those guys? Come on,
did
flex.
Not
even
know
you
know that was called Walk the Moon, but I know the song.
Of course you know the song. I know that's what's so embarrassing about you, Flex, is that you don't remember the
band. It's a really good song.
It's an awesome. They've got a bunch of songs. I mean, that's just the one that most people know, you know, off the top of their head. But we'll be speaking to Jesse Clegg. We'll speak to Nick Petrica in just a little while. It is 7:05 on the 20th of April, and we've got lots of other good stuff to talk about. 420. Oh my God, it's 420.
Oh, 420.
Oh. By the way, that means that today is the deadline for Twitter to decide whether or not they're going to accept Elon Musk's offer on their hostile takeover.
Did Elon Musk pick 420 for like the reason?
Flax, no, you know, before everybody else has to tell you this, it's not Elon Musk, it's Elon. E-L-O-N.
Elon.
It's all Elon, not Elan. You keep saying Elan.
It's
a thing.
Potato, potato. Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I don't mind, but I know someone's going to say, oh, it's not Elan, it's Elon. You know?
So, see, to me, it sounds the same. I like know. When I say pizza and you say pizza, it sounds the exact same.
We don't say.
It's very different.
Simply when I don't say pizza. We don't say pizza, but we've had this discussion a million times. So Congo says, Chris says, happy 420, everyone. Don't forget to leave milk and cookies out for Snoop Dogg. That's beautiful. Oh, man. Elon Musk, says Congo Chris as well. It's great. He's on fire this morning. All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we spoke last to Johnny and Jaron Clegg when they did a book about their dad not so long ago. And we obviously have met Jesse a million times on the show. He's been a regular, and we love having him on. He's one of the easiest people to talk to. He's had a very successful solo music career, spanned over a decade. That's after spending most of his younger years with his dad, going on tour and all the rest of it. So music is obviously a big part of Jesse's life. Now, reflecting back on his journey, he's actually making a welcome appearance at the Teatro at Monte Cassino. So take this down, 22nd and 23rd of April. He's doing a show called Here and Now, an up-close and personal musical showcase of his own original music and the songs that have inspired him along the way. So that's always a really cool thing to do. And you can actually catch that at the Teatro at Monte Cassino. That's a live show only on the 22nd and 23rd of April. So that's this coming weekend. Don't miss it. It's going to be over before you know, so get in there ASAP. So over
Wait,
the years...
only on this weekend.
Yeah, it's two nights.
Oh, God.
You got
I'm
2 days.
Booking. That's right. Cool. I dig live music.
It's amazing. And this will be a great show. So over the years, obviously, he's developed a strong bond with a whole lot of fellow local and international artists. And the special concert will see a number of guest appearances by musicians who have inspired and have played a pivotal role in Jesse's musical career. So flying in, especially for the show this morning, we have Nicholas Petrica, who's from the critically acclaimed band and a band that everybody in the whole world has heard. They're absolutely phenomenal. Walk the Moon, who Jesse spent a lot of time with. They've written together. They've done producing. They've done recording. They've worked in Los Angeles together. Here and Now, which is going to include a bunch of Jesse's hit songs from previous albums. Also, he's got tickets for 250 Rand available through CompuTicket. So get there ASAP and make sure you book yours today. Let's take a moment to cross over to Jesse and Nick, who are live this morning. Well done for waking up, boys. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, little sleepy. I'm going to lie. It's an early one.
First thing in the morning. Thanks for making time for us. Nick and Jesse, so good to see you guys. So, first of all,
yeah, nice to see you, man.
How's the jet lag going, Nick?
You know, I think I've finally become human. After about 4 or 5 days, I've returned to my humanity now.
Right. Don't worry. It always hits you like an extra day or two afterwards as well. So thank God you're not going on stage until Friday. But you guys must have rehearsals and all the rest of it. Are you excited about the show? You go first, Jesse. It's your show. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I'm really excited, man. This has been such a long build-up, and it's amazing. It's my first time playing with Nick on stage. You know, we've had so many wonderful creative experiences together and personal experiences, but we've never actually been able to get up on stage and perform, so this is a first. And yeah, yesterday I did a full day of rehearsing, and it was just amazing to sort of start piecing the show together and hearing all the songs played in the way that they're going to be played. Yeah, it's exciting, man.
Well, I'm glad you got the hoodie memo, because Simpiwe and I have got ours on, and Nick and Flex are not doing it right this morning. I'm terribly, terribly embarrassed. But okay, so listen, first of all, I mean, both of you are performers at heart. This is the thing that we love about live music, is you get to see people doing what they're best at. Nick, everybody knows your songs. Everybody knows what a great band Walk the Moon is. And it's just so great to have you here in South Africa. Is this your first time here?
It's not my first time here. I actually came once a few Novembers ago, like 2017, I think. I came through and actually got to perform with Johnny Clegg at Kirstenbosch.
Oh, wow.
In Cape Town.
Oh, wow. Must have been a hell of a
time. Yeah, that was such a huge honor, obviously. I actually came down with my mom for the show. Americans celebrate Thanksgiving around that time. So we had Thanksgiving in the airport. And then we came through, made it just in time for the show. It was, really special,
wow.
Really special memory. One other time also to come kick it with Jesse.
So
Nixon music.
I mentioned you both performers, and live music has been something that's been conspicuously absent from most of our lives for the better part of 2 years now. Were you guys just more frustrated than any of us? Because I'm absolutely convinced that not only, you know, did musicians and entertainers take probably one of the hardest hits during COVID. I mean, everybody was desperately in need of what you did, but none of us could see it. And people tried to do this online thing. It's really hard to do. You need the audience in front of you. The audience needs to see you in person. And it's just not the same when you try and do it online. Have you missed it, guys? And like, how does it feel to finally be back doing this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely missed it. I'm sure you've missed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of why I wanted to do this big special show. And, you know, it's called Here and Now because, you know, I think it's taken us some time to readjust to this present moment. And there's something quite special about having not been able to perform and then finally, when the doors open up, doing something very special and very something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, and yeah, I think it's the show is a celebration of that thing of being able to come back and appreciate this moment and appreciate and be grateful for this time that we can connect with each other and celebrate that. So it's definitely my experience of not being able to perform for the last 2 years has definitely inspired me to want to do this special show.
How did you guys actually meet? And tell us a little backstory about how Jesse and Nick got together and how you're both here to perform this weekend together.
Sure. If I can tell the story quickly, New Year's 2017, I wrote down some intentions for the year, and one of them was to create with my heroes. And the first name on that list was Johnny Clegg. And fast forward a few months, some letters sent back and forth. I got in contact with Johnny, who was so gracious and introduced me to his son, who happened to be where I was in town, where I was living in LA at the time doing a show. So I went out to see him, and we became friends, and the three of us, Jesse and his dad and I, collaborated on some music, actually wrote a song for Walk the Moon's album that that just came out at the end of last year, and a song we've been playing around here called Fire in Your House. So from that point, we've been dear friends and close collaborators.
Yeah, that's, first of all, it's really cool that you got to do that with Johnny. And obviously, we've spoken to Jesse, and just recently we spoke to you and your brother about your book that you guys have put together with all those memories of your dad. And I'm sure that that's done really well because people, people really miss him, and it's a way of connecting to him. And, you know, the great thing about you musicians, you guys are luckier than the rest of us in this way, is that even when all of you have gone, we can always connect with you through your music. It's a, it's an amazing thing that the rest of us don't have, you know. And how's the book done, Jesse? And what's been happening in the kind of legacy area around your dad's music since we last spoke? Because there's always stuff going on, right?
Yeah, no, the book has done really, really well. It's been in the bestseller list for, I think, since its release for. I think 7 or 8 months. It's quite amazing. And yeah, the feedback has just been so wonderful. I think that we're just really glad that we managed to put it together in a way that didn't try to speak for my dad. We didn't change anything. And it really was a project that he worked on for many years before he died. So right. We feel incredibly proud and excited that it you know, people connected with it. We are also doing a massive tribute concert at Emerentia on the 16th of July.
Fantastic.
The concert was planned for the 2020, but obviously that couldn't happen. So this is 3 years in the making now. We've finally got a new date, and it's going to feature some incredible artists, and it's just going to be a beautiful celebration of his music. It's on and it's happening on the 3-year anniversary of his passing, 16th of July. At Emerentia, tickets are available through CompuTicket.
It's amazing. Amazing. All right.
That photo behind you guys is like the cutest thing ever. Is that baby Jesse with a guitar?
Is that you with a guitar? What is that?
That's not my guitar. No, that's my baby.
That's amazing.
That's my daughter. Baby.
That's your baby.
Yeah. Sweet. I actually, she's so cute.
So we're going to take it off the wall now so everybody can see it.
Thanks,
Nick.
Oh, man.
That's so sweet. So Nick, now that you're hanging out here in South Africa, you've obviously got a bit more time. I should hope you're not going to have to rush back straight away. Let's just focus on you for a second, because
Let's talk about me.
We love you, Jesse, but we've spoken to you a million times. I haven't spoken to Nick before, so just leave us alone for a couple of minutes here. So first of all, Nick, when I said to Michael Flax, who's a moron, I mean, you don't judge everybody by him. I said to him, Walk the Moon. You know Nick from Walk the Moon. He's like, Walk the Moon? And then when I said...
I know the song well.
Yeah, and then when I said, Shut Up and Dance With Me, he was like, oh my God, really? It's them. Do you get that a lot from people? Because you guys have had more hits than Shut Up and Dance With Me. But it seems that song is like iconic, and everybody just remembers the song. Most people are like Flax. You know, like,
we actually just gave up on the rest. We only play that one song now, and it does really well for us. You know? it's true. I mean, that song, when that came out and into the world, it really transformed our path, and that song really, it went global, you know, and helped bring us around the world and get to share our music with people. In place very far away from where we started.
That song was 2014, right? And I mean, you guys have been going since 2006, so it's embarrassing that Michael Flax doesn't know anything else but that song. I mean, look at him sitting there like he's confused as hell. It's an embarrassment.
No, I'm now going to explore the music. I'm going to explore you. You're a great musician. I haven't explored your other albums.
Look at him, like a deer in the headlights. That's just unbelievable.
No, it's amazing. The hope is that that it becomes, you know, the gateway drug, right, to the rest of our music.
I love it.
And it's been, sometimes it's a weird little I don't know, like if people know the song before they know the band. Well, you know, back then maybe I was a little worried about that, but now it's just like, whatever, if you can, if that's what you know, and then it introduces you to the rest of our world, then great. And yeah, we've just released this new album. And yeah, Fire in Your House is probably my favorite song on the whole record, is the one that Jesse and his dad and I wrote together in LA a few years ago, and
it
came together for this record. So it's a really
I see hundreds of thousands of views already on Fire in the House, so it's all happening online now. Listen, I don't mean to bring up uncomfortable things, but people, you know, on the internet, they tend to give you the stuff that they want to know, and our audience don't. They're just merciless. They're like a bunch of rabid dogs. So they want to know what happened to Kevin Ray, because you guys kind of canned him somewhere in 2020, right? He was part of the band, and now he's not anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not able to go into detail about that, but we, you know, unfortunately needed to part ways, and we, you know, we needed to part ways. And unfortunately, due to what the nature of things, it's important to everyone involved to keep it private, but, right. But the right thing to do for us was to move on, separate from him. And, you know,
well,
walk the road survives.
It seems like it hasn't put the brakes on you guys at all. I mean, things are just moving forward at exactly that rate. I don't mean for it to sound like Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, because that's what we were talking about just before we got to you. So I'm hoping that whatever happened there, I'm sure that you've got it in control and that everything's going just fine. And the band's got, you know, all kinds of really cool things lined up still that we can wait to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, it's important to us that our band and our shows are a place where everyone feels welcome and celebrated, and it's, you know, the live shows are what have really made us who we are and
absolutely
and built our, you know, our community.
It's so
stoked to bring it to South Africa for the first, you know, for the first time really, and perform with my boy here.
So you guys have got two nights to perform up there, and I mean, this is going to be very exciting. I think that a lot of people are expecting a certain thing, but Jesse, you always like to surprise people too, and one of the surprises is having Nick here with you, obviously. Are there other surprises you've got lined up too?
There are some other surprises, man. There's more artists that are going to be featured.
Nice.
And some local artists, and it's also like, it's kind of a retrospective of my music, of where I've come from, where I am now, and also where I'm going, you know, I think to have Nick on the show was so important to me, because he's been such a big impact on my personal life and on my music in the last few years, and especially on my latest album, just because we collaborated on a lot of songs together that I've released as singles and that are yet to be released. And then the rest of the show is really like just a journey through my music and the songs that have shaped me as an artist and that people have connected to. And, you know, I'm hoping that I'll have a chance to just talk a bit about how some of the songs came about, a little bit of storytelling and just this, and also just a big epic production of the songs that people know. So it's going to be really special, and it's got a little bit of everything. So I'm really excited.
This sounds terrific.
I've been there for some rehearsals, and I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure how it's going.
Now, I mean, what kind of rehearsals? This must be such a wild ride. I mean, I'd love to come and see the rehearsals. Forget about the actual show. That must be amazing. But to actually see you guys interacting, all of you, before the actual show goes live, it must be really fun just be around musicians again. Just people jamming, getting up there, trying things out. And obviously there's a, you know, you've got a specific amount of time and you've got two nights to do the show. So it's got to be pretty tight. But it must be fun to be doing that again. It hasn't happened for 2 years.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I've been rehearsing and performing in my world with my band for so long. And it's been kind of rare that I've been in, you know, a fly on the wall or presence in somebody else's rehearsal.
Wow.
And so it's been fun to just like, oh, right. Other people do this. Yeah. And it's been fun to work on music together. Mm-hmm. You know, we've created some songs together over the years, but yeah, you know, I mean, we've said this a few times now, but never gotten to perform them or even really just sing them in the same room together. Mm. Besides for, you know, when we created them in the studio. So it's beautiful to see some of the songs come to life. And I think people will be, I think it's going to be a really special moment to share with people.
It's so interesting that you are a lot like your dad in this way, Jesse. You also have these friends all over the world who are also these super talented musicians, and you just kind of get together with them and put on a show. It's not a big deal to you. I mean, some people have to negotiate this with agents for like 10 years before they manage to get anything in place. And then they argue about this. And then, you know, someone gets involved and the record companies screw it up or make it worse or make it better or whatever. You just call up your friend and like he gets on a plane.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big deal, Nick. I mean, it's you guys just talk about it like it's nothing. It's quite a cool thing that you could just get together and jam.
I think it's a testament to this man right over here.
Wow.
We've been friends for a long time, and you know, it is a big deal, man. And it's taken a lot of planning, but it really is it is Nicholas's amazing generosity that he wanted to be here and he wanted to be a part of it. And it's a testament to who he is and our friendship and the connection that we've had. So I certainly don't take it lightly, man. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a big deal.
And all the artists that are a part of it, you know, all the musicians and everything, it's just been this wonderful confluence of good intentions and of trying to execute this special show and this special vision. You know, it's just, that's the beautiful thing about music is that it's something that you have to do together. You have to collaborate. You have to, you know, meet in the middle and find the best way to express, you know, a truth or an observation of life.
I love the fact that there's going to be someone in that audience on Friday and Saturday. They're going to arrive there and think they're just coming for Jesse Clegg, which is great enough on its own. That's the reason they bought the ticket, right? And then they're going to be sitting there and they're going to go, oh fuck, there's that guy from Walk the Moon. This is phenomenal. Right?
That was very sweet, Jesse. It's not, you know, it's a joy and it's a gift to me to be able to come down and like our friendship has been so so powerful, and it's, you know, it'd be awesome if we were only just friends, but we also create music together. We're also, you know, working on new ideas and you know, experimenting, and there's a lot of reasons to be here. Okay. You know, it's not like, it's just for the bubs. It's for his cute. It's for his adorable child. That is really the reason.
Yeah. So listen, have you explained to him what load shedding is, Jesse?
Oh my God.
It hasn't needed words. It's just happened. And
you figured that out.
To experience it.
All right. So you figured out load shedding. You also realize you haven't come at the best time of year. I mean, we've pretty much had nonstop rain and it's been cold and shitty, and you've just left the cold. I mean, as cold as LA gets, you know, compared to the rest of the place. Next time, just give us a bit of warning. We'll arrange it at a better time of year.
Okay. Great.
Make sure we have electricity.
I'm trying to get Nick to try some of the local cuisine, but he's a vegetarian. So it's like, what vegetarian South African dishes are there? I just don't, there are none.
Oh man, there was this great place that we discovered a vegan burvos.
Oh wow.
Vegan burvos.
And it was awesome. I mean, I'm sure that somebody,
I didn't try.
I'm sure that King Borovas, whoever created Borovas, is rolling in his grave. But
I don't want to know what they put in there to make it taste or look like Borovas. But good for you. You know what? You gotta live a little. You gotta do some interesting. Take a couple of chances. All right. So guys, how long is the show? And is it really only two nights, or are you going to decide after the second night because it's a sellout that you're going to do another one? That's it, right? People got to get in there now.
Well, it's for now, it's just these two. I think that, you know, if we have a great time and it does well, then there's a chance that We'll travel around South Africa with it, do a couple more shows, maybe Cape Town, Durban. But I think right now our focus is just to do these two and see how it feels and see how it goes. So if people want more, then they'll let us know.
All right. Well, so you're not closing the door to the possibility that there may be more. Of course, you'd have to make it really worth Nick's while to stay, because there's not that much vegan or vegetarian food, and he doesn't know how to handle this power electricity shit that we got. Sanele says here, I thought this is really sweet. Sanele says, I love Jesse. My favorite song is Clarity. As some of you know, I lost my dad just a couple of weeks ago, Sanella did. And whenever it got too much, my refuge was two songs, David Fimfurian's You Will Leave a Mark and Jesse's Clarity. So this is how you touch people, man. This is what you guys do. You know, everybody has their personal story with each of your songs.
Yeah, thank you, man. Big love.
Mm. Yeah, it's an amazing thing, the way that music, every song reminds you of someone or of a certain time in your life. And you were saying just now, Nick, that you were hugely inspired by Jesse's dad. Did you have a connection to South Africa before that, or did you just hear about him before you two had met?
You know, the first time I had heard his music was something like 2014 or 15. And when I heard it, it felt like I had been listening to him my entire life. And later, actually, I would find out that there were a couple of songs that had been part of my childhood.
Really?
But when I heard it, I was like, wow, it sounds like Walk the Moon has been influenced by Johnny Clegg the whole time. there were a lot of similar, I don't know, like there's a big similar energy there.
Right.
And a joyousness. That I really connect deeply to in his music. And, you know, it turns out also that there was a deep connection when Jesse and I met and we got to know each other a little better. And I had just lost my father to Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, wow.
And when I found out about what Jesse was going through with his dad, it was, you know, it was a deep bond for us, you know, something that's, you know, this sort of terrible rite of passage that we were both experiencing. Through the deep pains and sorrows of life, like that's where, music, the power of music really, really comes through. Right. So,
yeah, that's such an interesting reason for people to also come together, because, you know, they say all kinds of things about how you really only become a man when your dad dies, you know, and it's such a tough thing for so many people. Sanele's gone through it now. You guys have both been through it. Some of us still have that to look forward to, in inverted commas. It's not something anyone looks forward to. But it is also, you know, it is a rite of passage, as you rightly put it. And thank God you can create music. You both make such beautiful music, and I wouldn't like to categorize any of your stuff as being all happy or all sad. But when I think of both of you, the music is very live. It's very upbeat. It's very positive. It's optimistic. It's not sad stuff. So it's interesting that music, despite the things that you're going through, can sometimes tell a very powerful story by being uplifting, even if it's about subject matter that is not necessarily, you know, the yay, 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 we're having a good time stuff.
Sure. I mean, I think both of us do impart to our upbringing, you know, and what the values that our parents raised us with, and, you know, lucky to have had that influence in each of our lives. You know, that those moments are not without their beauty and not without value, you know, to really teach you something important about what is good about life and what is, you know, the reason to be here, you know, the reason to stay and experience it all.
Well, I do hope you're going to stay and experience a bit more of South Africa this time, and that you don't have to rush out straight away. And who knows? We may have a Walk the Moon concert at some point in South Africa. I mean, it's not out of the question.
I would love that. Yes.
We would all love that. Let me add everyone else's voice to that list so that you know that you've got huge support in this country. But it's just so great that you're here doing this show with Jesse. We'll all be there to watch it for the next two nights. Flax, now that you know who they are, anything you want to say?
I'm on the website and there's limited availability, so go book.
All right, there we go. Yeah, get in there ASAP. Listen, Nick, Jesse, thank you both so much for your time this morning. I know it's a shitty thing to ask anyone to be up, but it looks like a beautiful day outside for a change. So get out there and enjoy and get rehearsing. And we will see you on stage on Friday and Saturday night. It's only two nights at Monte Cassino's Teatro, and it's called Here and Now. 250 Rand on Compy Ticket. That is a well worthwhile way to spend one of the nights this weekend. Go and do it ASAP. Nick, great to have you in South Africa. Jesse, always lovely to see you, sir. And we'll catch up with you guys. Please put the picture of your daughter back on the wall. Don't leave it on the table lying around. It looks so nice. And then we'll see you guys at the concert.
Yeah, can't wait, man. So, we'll have a drink after the show if you guys pull through.
Superb. Thank you both, gents. Lovely to see you both, and have an excellent week. You. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Cheers, man.
Isn't that cool? What awesome people. Aren't they fantastic?
Very nice guys.
Yeah. Sounds terrific. Good. Superb human beings. And I'm sure the concert's going to be brilliant. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. All right.
I'm glad they brought back concerts.
Oh, dude. Isn't
nothing
it great?
Better than a live performance.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine on Monday, and we were both saying that it just feels like there's not a lot to do. You know, you can go out and you can kind of drink at the same three or four places that you've been going to for the last 8 years, but it sort of feels a bit boring. I also think people are house partied out because we had to do that for the last 2 years. So I think it's nice that we can go and watch shows and we can get out there and see live musicians and see people doing what they're the best at. It just makes the heart full.
It's been a while since I've even been to Monty and the Teatro. I think the last time I went there was to watch Lion King. And I mean, I'd go watch a play any day. I love plays.
You do?
I enjoy them.
Yeah, I can't say I'm the
especially
biggest.
Musicals.
I can't say I'm the biggest fan of musicals. Huh? Someone was saying to me the other day, it must be so great it's not really my favorite thing, musicals, but this kind of show, oh man, where you see the actual artists, the musicians, they're all on stage together. It's live. Things can go right. Things can go wrong. That's where the magic's made. I love that.
And it's indoors. Different.
Indoors. Yeah, good
point. The music sounds so much better live. Mm. I think when people record it strips away like how vocally talented some people are. Like when you hear that vibrato and definitely. You hear, just some of that, like, oh man, you're like, oh, chills. This is absolute chills. And musicals. Ooh, I can't. I don't understand how people can have like a sentence. I'm having a good day today. Just like, it doesn't make sense. They're talking about heartbreak and then they're like burst out in a song.
They start doing a Bollywood dance around the stage. Do me a favor.
Oh, I'd love a Grease musical to come back. I'd go watch that.
A Grease musical. Do you like Grease?
Mm. Okay. I like Grease. And what was the other one? Hairspray. I really enjoy Hairspray.
Okay, that wasn't too bad. I did watch Hairspray and I was like, okay, it's not too bad, but I just can't get over people mid-sentence or like just in the middle of a heartbreak and they're just like, oh, it's sick, tonight's gonna be the best night. And it's always, that's not what we do, though.
It's always about like love, and I'm so in love, and there's all of that shit. It's just
and then there's like nonsense. Four or five different people in the background, and you're like, when did you guys get there?
Right.
And they're all like in sync, now all dancing, and you're like, okay, this was a lot. No. And then when the song was over, we go back to being like, my heart's
my least
broken.
Favorite thing is like all of that melodrama. It's all of that like, he broke my heart, now I don't know how I'll ever love again. And you got these people dancing around. Like, fucking do me a favor. So look, let's turn our attention to something else here. This is brilliant. I want to hear your and Flax. Max's thoughts on this. I'm just going to put it up and read the headline, okay?
Okay.
It says, bodybuilder who married a sex doll has admitted he cheated on her while she was being repaired. Go
what?
Ahead.
Are you legally allowed to marry a doll?
You're allowed to marry yourself, like, so hey, anything goes.
Really?
You're allowed.
Yes. You tell me if I went to court right now, I could like marry my cell phone or yogurt
probably,
over here.
You probably could. I don't know if you'd probably be allowed, could. Not in South Africa necessarily, but in America, I mean, there's some places where anything goes. So you could. There was a guy who married, in fact, Tim P was right. Like just 2 weeks ago, there was a woman who married herself. And she wrote this article in the New York Times about how she don't need no man. She don't need no woman. She don't need no anything. She just needs her. She's just totally happy on her own. But she still needed to get married to herself. So there's still, like, she's still putting up a bit of a show. You know, she's like, well, I don't need anybody, but I still need to be married to somebody. So what do you make of this? I mean, is it cheating? Forget about whether or not you can marry a sex doll. Is it cheating if you take your sex doll in to be repaired? By the way, that's a whole other discussion. What happened to the sex doll that it needed to be repaired? Is it cheating if you send your sex doll in for repairs and then you cheat on her with another sex doll? Because I don't think it was a living human. It was another sex doll.
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I am fighting for the rights of all sex dolls. He cheated. He's a good-for-nothing brother. Why could he not keep it in his pants until she came back from repairs and being maintained? No, no, no. Okay? All the times he's been with her and she's been faithful to him. Okay? No. And he could not wait. I'm sorry. He's a cheater.
Oh,
okay? He needs to, like, apologize. He's a cheater.
I'm struggling to take this thing seriously. I'm sorry. Like, this is just, it's outrageous on so many levels. I wonder how, first of all, okay, I bought a sex doll once for the show, right? I bought the sex doll to sit in the corner of the room while we were doing a show. This is while I was still on radio. I was so embarrassed just to buy the thing. Just to go into the shop. It was this cheap thing with like the flat face with the big lips and the hole where you put the, you know, and then it's got the other hole. You literally, it's made of that same stuff that a beach ball is made. You know those beach balls?
Yeah.
It's that kind of material. Okay, so.
But that was years ago, Gareth. Do you know how, like, they've changed now? They look real. They feel real.
Yeah, this is probably like silicone and stuff.
So I'm just, this is maybe 10 years ago. So I'm just telling you my story. It was so embarrassing and humiliating. Even though the box is this big, you go in and you buy it at a sex shop, right? And you walk out and you're like, oh, please, dear God, don't let anyone I know walk past the entrance to the sex shop as I'm walking out, please. You almost want to like take a left, right, left again, just make sure, and then run to your car as quickly as possible with a packet that you can hide it in that doesn't show what you bought, because to buy a sex doll. Anyway, so I buy this thing, we blow it up, we use it on the show, and then it just hung around, and then eventually I think someone stole it, the cleaners or someone took it, and we weren't sad to see the back of it because the joke was already done. Now,
who steals sex dolls?
I don't know, dude. It's the same people who have them repaired, probably.
Some dodgy shit right there.
Listen, my point is that there is something unbelievably sad. And if you are listening to us right now and you've been a loyal listener of ours, and I'm about to upset you for the first time by saying, I can't really take you seriously if you have a sex doll, then too bad, because I can't take you seriously if you have a sex doll. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. You are not a real, living, thriving human being if you are directing your enthusiasm, your feelings, your sex drive, your turn-ons at a doll. I think it's terribly, terribly sad. Now, I know Simpi and Flax were going down this train. They make these incredible dolls now. Right, they make this thing called the real doll, which I remember somebody told me about it, and I saw like it on a TV show where they showed how this thing is made of silicon and it feels like it's real and even warms up to body temperature and all this kind of thing. And that's probably the kind that this guy has in this picture, right? The real doll. I mean, it looks like at a glance, you might actually be dealing with a real person. But he has to buy clothes for her then and maybe different colored wigs or who knows, because he's looking at her every day. He's married to her. Now, all of that aside, if that's your life and you've decided to marry her, and then you're having sex with this sex doll so many times that you have to have it repaired, and you then are considered a cheater because you send her into the shops, can I just suggest mildly you have much bigger problems than the sex doll?
Maybe, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Different strokes for different folks. Like, maybe he likes the fact that he doesn't need to ask for permission for certain things. It's always consensual. And that's the, you know, the best thing ever. And, you know, it's just whenever, however. Because these sex dolls are quite incredible. They can do motions as well. Now there's, like, sounds. And it's, like, a full-on show. But you also pay a whole lot of money for it. And I think maybe for him, I don't know. I think that's what turns him on. Like, that's his fetish, and we can't really judge, you know?
Yeah, some of the comments...
He's not having multiple partners, so I guess that's safer.
Some of the comments are brilliant this morning. Rice Beck says, I wonder what they talk about when they're together.
Pollution, plastic pollution.
Plastic pollution in the ocean. Rajesh says, little does he know she cheated on him while in the repair shop with a cordless drill. Congo Chris says she has a name, Gareth. She's not just a cheap thing. Cancel Cliff Central. Yasin says it wasn't a sustainable relationship. Oh my God.
Oh my God. My thing is, like, does he introduce her to friends and family when they come over? Because this is his wife now. So, like, is she stationed at the living room, and then when guests come over, hi, this is Olivia, meet my wife. Yeah. And they're all like, hi, Olivia.
That is the moment.
Like, picturing if a mate did that to me at, like, a dinner party and brought up, and he was, like, dead honest and brought over a doll and was, like, convinced this was his wife or they were married. I mean, I'd dig deep. I would go with it. I wouldn't call bullshit till the end. I'd really want to know answers here. I'd have my jokes. Like, if it was one of those plastic ones like Gareth mentioned, I'd be like, does she take your breath away? Just like little one-liners throughout the night.
Oh, Flax, you're on fire this morning with this stuff.
Would ask, how much did she set you back? You know, if you're showing her off like that, like, how much did you spend? Because I've seen, like,
let's look this
one sex doll can be like 28,000 rand, and that's, like, you know, not even the most fanciest of them. So I'm like, if you had, Jesse, how much are you spending? Because damn.
All right, the real doll sex doll costs. Let me just see this. I can't believe I'm looking up this stuff. I'm looking this up. It's going to be in my search history. Okay. Adele is a 5'3", 160-centimeter full-body sex doll. She sells for 59,886 rand.
Nearly 60 grand.
Yep.
Cheaper to buy a ring and put it on a real person. Like, marry a real person.
Yeah, well, this is my whole point. And you're telling me that you can't listen, in this economy, you'll be able to find a real person for under that, and you'll be able to pay them, even if it's just transactional, even if it's pure, like, I'll pay you just to be with me because I'm such a lonely, sad loser. Here's what that doll looks like for 60,000 rand. And you could see it's fake. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how. And it might feel like the real thing, but it's not. That's 59,000 rand, that doll there. It's called Adele.
She looks a bit awkward.
That's a whole
I wonder what her name is. Is this, like,
her real name?
Do they have, like, stripper names, or do they have, like, proper, like, human names? So, you know, like,
according to the site that I found called Venus Love Dolls, right? This one, you could pay a deposit, or you could pay in full, or you could pay.
You're paying monthly installments for a doll?
Yes. You can do monthly installments. So they have financing options, people. They have financing options. That's what they have. Oh my God.
You know what confuses me with this image here?
Oh my God.
This is obviously modern technology. Like, yeah, to produce a doll like this, right, modern technology. Have a look at the phone in the back.
Yeah.
Oh no, it looks like there's old things.
Mm. Like, this is trying to appeal to like an old man. Right.
Yes.
It's like a new, young, fresh model.
It would be for an old man. I mean, I don't think a young man is going to be so lonely and desperate. Or maybe if he is, he's one of those incels. So apparently if you buy that doll that I just showed you now, you get an extra head for free. You could choose one of these different heads and you get one extra head for free. So you can actually have two different women in your life then. And you get to choose between H1 and J9. Those are the options on the screen at the moment. Oh my God. Wow.
The definition of be his peace. Like,
you see, guys, yes, see what happens. Now, once you go down this rabbit hole, just like everything else on the internet, now you're going to suddenly find that there are all kinds of combos. You can get one with a skin tone that you like. So you make it slightly darker or lighter. You can have bigger eyes, smaller eyes. You can design your own kind. Let me tell you, this is big business. And there are enough lonely men in the world to keep this train on the tracks. So,
it's a trend. I think we need to cancel this one.
I think it should be canceled. I'm with you, Flex. I think this is probably bad for humanity in the long run.
I think when you have a sex doll or Amber Heard as an option, go Amber Heard. Leave the sex doll.
Ooh, listen.
That's close.
That's close.
I think you might want the sex doll.
The sex doll's not gonna tell everybody that you abused her and then sue you and try to embarrass you publicly. The sex doll you just put back in the box and put her back in the cupboard and ignore her. Although, I mean, I still don't find that particularly appealing. So here, Carrie says, objectophilia or sexuality refers to individuals who tend to develop strong romantic attachments. The term came to light when a 45-year-old American made headlines for marrying a train station.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, a thing.
Marry a train station.
It's a thing.
Can I just say? This?
Hey, it happens.
Can I just say, like, when I was in Internet Left Central, Dory and I came up with this term, crazy shit white people do. And I promise you, Caucasian people do the craziest things, like marry a train.
Yeah.
And then there was another lady who married an entire building. And I was like, what? Like, who does this? Who wakes up one morning and looks at a building and is like, we were meant to be.
Oh, yeah.
You are the love of my life. Yeah. And I get so fulfilled just looking at you. And you've.
I think there are people. No. There are certain people who are screwed up enough to get into that. I'm telling you.
There's someone that's like engaged or married to the Eiffel Tower. I saw it come up on like one of those like soap TV shows, those reality shows.
Dude.
And she was like sitting on the Eiffel Tower saying it's the love of her life and this. And I was just like, what?
I almost think humans have got to a point now where they're trying so hard to be different that they actually are now they've gone full on into like stupidity mode. Like it's now completely stupid and ridiculous. They're not even trying anymore. They're like, I'm going to fall in love with my lamp just so I can end up on BuzzFeed for 15 minutes and people will know my name. I mean, just think about that bodybuilder who fell in love with his sex doll. There's no way that he's going to walk into the gym the next time he goes in there. And everyone's going to laugh at him. They might not do it openly, but as soon as he walks out of the room, they're like, that's the guy with the sex doll. It's embarrassing. Like,
can you really walk into like the magistrate's court and just pick an object and marry?
Suppose
you tell me if I was in there with this keyboard over here, I could marry you.
I dare you.
Yes, as long as you have the money to pay for the papers, clearly, like, it's Flex, happening.
Do you want, this is why when people say to me, you know, because I'll sometimes get emails from people and they're like, they don't really want to be in broadcasting or they don't want to be in podcasting or whatever. They just want to be famous, right? You get people who just want to be famous. And I say to them, okay, I got a range of options for you. None of them involve working for me. Number one, marry a keyboard. Because you will be all over the news tomorrow. Everybody will be talking about you. If you want to be famous, that's the kind of shit you have to do. go on a cruise ship and set your hair on fire and jump off the front of the ship. Those are the kinds of things that get people famous, but they're not things that you'd be proud of. They're not things that 10 years from now your kids will go, "That was my daddy. I'm so proud of him. He jumped off the front of that cruise ship while his hair was on fire. And he obviously didn't make it, but you know, he lived long enough to be able to say that he loved us. And that's all that matters." Same goes for the guy who marries the keyboard. You could do that and you will be famous for tomorrow for 15 minutes, but then everyone is going to remember only that thing about you. And the one thing that you don't want to be remembered for is something dumb like marrying your keyboard.
Can we not do it that you have to have a passport to marry, like, or you have to have an ID book or birth certificate?
Well,
if you're marrying another human,
I feel very uncomfortable with people walking into court marrying like phones or yogurts or things like that.
Well, a yogurt you can't.
But it communicates.
A yogurt you've got to definitely. The way it looks. There's a timeline, right? So yogurt would be more, almost like a. That's really like dating, because you can't marry it because it's going to go off eventually. Mind you, hang on, that's just like marriage.
You date your yogurt, but you marry your keyboard.
It was love at first sight, and then you had to eat it.
Oh, my God. All right, I think we're scraping the bottom of the barrel now in terms of, like, horrible things you can marry. So I think we're going to leave it there. Flax, it's good to have you on again, dude. Nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
As always.
Always a blast.
Yeah, and have a good week, and keep warm, everybody, because it's not getting any warmer. I think that this is going to be the entree to winter that none of us have been looking forward to. Simpiwe, we'll see you tomorrow morning. We've got tomorrow and Friday. I mean, tomorrow's already Thursday, Friday, then it's two more short weeks after that. So pretty much April's a write-off. If you were thinking you were going to get anything done in April, good for you, but you were deluding yourself. You're fooling yourself. It's not going to happen. All right, we'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Cheers, everybody. Have an awesome day this Wednesday, the 20th of April. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.